O Lord, you are a God of mercy and great blessing. In your love, you have redeemed our souls. You have given us the gift of eternal life. Be with us, O Lord, in the midst of the struggles and sufferings of this present life. Comfort us with your promises. Guide us by your word this morning and bless us with the joy and certainty of your presence as we worship you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In his name we pray. Amen. Welcome this morning to the worship service in the name of Christ Jesus, our resurrected Savior and Lord. We pray that the Spirit of our God may be poured out upon us richly this morning as we worship our Savior God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You follow the order of worship as you find it printed in the liturgy insert inside the front cover of the maroon hymnal. We've come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children, but we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to Him and plead for His mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against You and do not deserve to be called Your child. But trusting in Jesus, my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to Your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all of your sins. By the holy life and innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, He has removed your guilt forever. You are His own dear child. May God grant you grace and strength to live according to His will. Amen. Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God. Thanks and praise of heavenly joy and peace on earth. We sing, we worship you. To you our hearts we raise. Lord God, almighty Father, heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord. At God's right and in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. Let us pray. Lord, because you have promised to give what we ask in the name of your only begotten Son, teach us rightly to pray, and with all of your saints to offer you our adoration and praise. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. First of our Bible lessons is drawn from the book of Acts. And remember that Acts is a sequel book to the Gospel according to St. Luke, the same author, written to the same person. Theophilus was his name. And in this lesson, we read about how the spread of the gospel occurred in those early days of the church, and also the very first place where the word Christians was used to describe those who are followers of Christ, their Savior, in the town of Antioch. We read about this in Acts 11, 19 to 26. Now, those who had been scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Here ends the first lesson. I invite you now to join me in the Easter acclamation as found printed on the liturgy insert. The Lord is risen.
He is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
God's love was revealed among us in this way. Sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things.
Christ suffered for our sins, once for all, righteous for the unrighteous, in order to bring us to God.
In him we live and move and have our being.
Because I live, you will live also.
This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. In him we live and move and have our being.
Come and see what God has done, God's wonderful acts towards all people.
Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you.
Because I live, you will live also.
Our second lesson is drawn from the book of 1 John. We read there in the fourth chapter a selection from John's letter. And one of the thoughts in this particular letter, one of the ways that we are instructed to show our love for God is by making sure that the message that we listen to from the church, from church leaders, is indeed His word. We're to test the spirits to see if it is of God, using the Bible as our litmus test. And then also the thought that as Christians who know the love of Christ, we are to demonstrate that same love in our associations and relationships with other people. We read then 1 John 4, 1-11. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you've heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, Since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
I invite you now to stand as we this morning use the Nicene Creed as our confession of faith. It's found printed on the back page of the liturgy insert. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day He rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Word of God for our consideration today is found written in the Gospel according to St. John. We read a selection from the 15th chapter, verses 9 to 17. Jesus says there, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give you. These things I command you, that you love one another." So far our text. In Jesus' name, our resurrected Redeemer, dear friends, I've got a joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I've got a joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart to stay. Let me recognize those words as those from a familiar children's Bible song. Song with a catchy tune, pleasing to the ear, pretty easy to pick up. In the song, we encourage our children to express their happiness, their joy in the Lord. However, I suppose a person might ask, is it appropriate to teach our children to learn about and to sing about a joy that stays? Do not our children, do not we all, including us adults, live in a world in which we encounter a lot of things that make us sad? Isn't it a bit idealistic and even unrealistic to speak about a happiness in our heart that lasts? Of course, our answer as Christians is, no, it's not unrealistic, nor is it idealistic. Not only is it possible to have a lasting, deep-down heart joy, it's something that our risen Savior guarantees us, each of us as His believers. And in today's sermon text, I'm going to consider a selection from Jesus' discourse from His talking to His disciples in the upper room the night before He went on the sad and lonely road to the cross, where He teaches us what are the two keys to a happy and a joy-filled life. And the first of these keys, Jesus says, is abiding in His love. He told His disciples that night, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love." And He did not leave His disciples in the dark in regard to what that meant, abiding in His love, when He went on to tell them, "If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain, may stay, and that your joy may be full." Jesus was speaking about the complete and the lasting joy that he gives to his believers as they endeavor in the Holy Spirit's strength to walk in the way of his commandments, just as he walked in the way of his Father's commandments as he went the way to the cross for us. As you let your love for me show by cheerful obedience to my word, it's going to have the twofold effect of making me happy, your Savior, and making you happy too. Just several real life examples and applications of what Jesus was here speaking about. Just consider how husbands and wives think of the joy that you experience in your marriage relationship as you take Jesus' word as your guide in your marriage relationship. When you husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church, unselfishly, to the point of giving up your life even for her. As you strive to put your wife's needs above your own, as Jesus put our soul needs above his own cares and comforts as he went to the cross, there's a happiness that the Lord enables you to experience. And similarly, when you wives submit to your husbands as to your Savior, the way that he submitted to the will of his Father as he went to the cross, as you recognize your husband as your God-given head, the way that Jesus recognized his heavenly Father as his head, there's a joy that he enables you to experience. You young people and your children, as you take Jesus' example of love to his heavenly Father as your own guide in your life, as your pattern, obeying your parents in the Lord, it is for the Lord's sake, respecting and honoring your parents and superiors, a wonderful blessing results from your obedience, and that is a deep down joy that the Lord gives to you in your life. Church members, as we come to God's house faithfully to praise him who redeemed us, as we hear his holy word here, which we know is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, to receive strengthening for our faith, guidance for our walk as Jesus' disciples in this world, again, he fills our lives with a special kind of happiness. The opposite is also true. Just think about this in the nuts and bolts of everyday living. When married couples fail to take Jesus' word as their guide in their relationship, when children act out or misbehave or rebel against authority, when parishioners disregard or ignore the third commandment of God, there's an unhappiness that invariably results as you're living out of sync with the holy will of your Lord and Savior. Psalmist put it very well, Psalm 1, when he said, and bear in mind when the Bible uses the word blessed, that means happy, spiritually happy. Psalm 1, he says, blessed or spiritually happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of God, and on his law he meditates day and night. He'll be like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf doesn't wither. Whatever he does prospers. Blessed is such a man, such a woman. Also another verse from the Psalms. Blessed is the one who fears the Lord and finds great delight in God's commands. And the one we are so familiar with from Luke's gospel, we use it every Sunday in church. You heard it earlier. Blessed, spiritually happy are those who hear the word of God and keep it or treasure it up in their hearts. Now, the unbelieving children of the world don't have any understanding of this. They think that happiness is found actually in living their life apart from any constraints of God's commandments, like the son in Jesus' parable of the loving father who obtained his father's inheritance early so that he could be out on his own and go and live a wild, promiscuous life just as he wanted to without any restrictions of living at home. But he discovered, as Jesus pointed up in his parable, it didn't make him happy, but actually very miserable until he came to his senses and went back home with a repentant heart to his heavenly father, to his father, a picture of our heavenly father. Holy Spirit, of course, is the one who enables us to understand and recognize this. True joy in our lives and perfect joy in the next life in heaven is found in knowing Jesus as our Savior by faith, He who kept all of God's commandments in our place, and in our walking in His holy commandments. Commandments which are not burdensome to us, and which we recognize were given to us not to make our lives hard or joyless, the very opposite reason, that He might fill our lives with His blessedness, His joy, His spiritual happiness. You know what's extra special about this joy that Jesus gives to His believers? Is that it is ours. When life gets sad, when Jesus said these things I've spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that it might be full, He was not saying that our lives as His disciples will be cushioned continually by a bed of roses and that we will experience only good and happy times, but that in the midst of life's sad turns and happenings, and you can fill in the blank with whatever experience your life that has been difficult related to home, family, work, etc., health issues, He helps us in those times to maintain our deep down Christian joy, lifting us up by His precious gospel promises. For example, Isaiah 43, this is what the Lord says who created you and formed you. Fear not, I've redeemed you, I've summoned you by your name and you're mine. When you pass through the waters of affliction, I'll be with you. When you pass through the rivers of sadness, they will not sweep over you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. And can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? They might forget. I will not forget you, says the Lord. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous right hand, says the Lord. The joy that He gives to us even in times of stormy weather. It's interesting to note as you read through the writings of the apostles in the New Testament, if you ever notice this, apostles, as you probably are aware, went through some very difficult and trying times in their lives. That joy is a dominant theme. One of the best examples of this is Paul's epistle to the Philippians. In fact, it's called sometimes the epistle of joy because of its happy, upbeat tone. Paul uses the word joy and rejoice in Philippians no less than 16 times. Guess where he was when he wrote it? Visiting family and friends? On a vacation trip with friends? No. He was in prison at Rome because of his preaching the good news of Jesus. And yet in the midst of that difficult trial, the Lord had blessed Paul with a joy in his heart which no one, no circumstance could take away, not even the devil himself. From his prison cell, he wrote, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I will say, rejoice. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer and supplication, bring your requests to God, and the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, shall guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus. That's the peace of God, the joy we have in Christ. Second key to a joy-filled life, we might say it's on the same key ring because it's so closely related. Cherishing Jesus' friendship. In the upper room that night, Jesus went on to say to his disciples, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I've loved you. Greater love is no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his friends." Is there any better advice that could be shared for bolstering our Christian joy as we go through our days, our weeks, the years of our lives, than that we have a friend who loved us so much that he was willing to die for us in order to reconcile us to God? Paul writes in Romans, "Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die, but the Lord demonstrated his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." He showed us that perfect, unconditional agape love. That's the most perfect kind of love for people that don't even deserve it, but he loved us anyway because he wanted to do that. And so he did, and showed it by giving us his Son as our Savior. May we also be reminded, dear friends, about another blessing he's bestowed upon us, his dear friends in Christ, through Christ, in that agape love, when he says here, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit may remain." And then he says, "That whatever you ask the Father in my name, he'll give you." In other words, not only are we privileged as friends of the Lord, as his redeemed people, to have him speak to us in his word about the wonderful things he did for us in his love, so that our lives on earth may be blessed, spiritually happy, and then hereafter forever perfectly in heaven. But we're privileged to talk to him in prayer and to know that we ask of our Heavenly Father in Jesus' name, he'll give us. In every need that we have, we can turn to our Father in heaven and know with utmost confidence he is going to respond to our prayers with a favorable answer. Whether that prayer is no, because he knows it's not the best for us, or yes, or later when the time is right. He always answers us for Jesus' sake because he has become our BFF in the truest sense, our best friend forever. As we sing, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Can we find a friend so faithful who will all our sorrows share? Jesus knows our every weakness. We may take it to the Lord in prayer." Such a friend, such a Savior, we may sing. We can teach our children to sing. "I've got a joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I've got a joy, 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 joy down in my heart, down in my heart to stay." And if you children know the other stanza from this familiar Bible song, it's also true. If the devil doesn't like it, he can sit and attack. Ouch. Sit and attack to stay. And we will praise God for the lasting joy that he has given to us in Jesus. Amen. And the peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus. unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. O Jesus Christ, our crucified and risen Lord, accept our offering of thanks and praise. How great was your devotion to the task of our redemption. How totally unselfish was the sacrifice you made in our behalf. Our sins brought you pain and suffering and death. You brought us life and salvation. The debt we owed a holy and just God, you paid in full with your sacrifice on the cross. You exchanged your righteousness for our sins so that we can stand before our God unashamed and fully accepted. In your glorious resurrection, we now find the sure hope of our own resurrection. And now, O Christ, your intercession to God in our behalf gives us courage and boldness to pray with confidence that our prayers are always answered in a way that is favorable. May the Holy Spirit teach us to call on your name without ceasing. Teach us what good things to pray for. May unbelief and doubt never keep us from praying or prevent our prayers from being heard or answered. Give us faith to believe that God accepts our prayers for the sake of your precious blood shed for us. Help us to pray with contrite hearts that make humble confession of our sins. Come with your divine blessings, O Holy Redeemer, so that all who believe in you may in your blessings find complete joy and satisfaction. O Savior, grant that our love for you may never be replaced by a lust for the things of this world. Keep us from yielding to soul-destroying sins. May the Holy Spirit keep us from trusting in anyone or anything to save us besides your merit and sacrifice. Help us always to walk in the Spirit, in accordance with your holy commandments, that led by the Holy Spirit we may follow your pure example and thereby testify to the source of our faith and love. Forgive each occasion when we fail to trust you, to love you, to keep you in our thoughts, to serve you, to abide in your word, to pray to you, praise you, or to witness about you to others. Cover us with your righteousness. How it comforts us to know that you are our ever-living King who reigns supreme, hearing and answering our prayers and causing everything to work for our good. yes, even the things that frighten and afflict us. All praise to your name in earth and heaven. Amen. We also join to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. May you be seated as we sing the next hymn, and please note that we'll be singing stanzas 1 and 4 to 6 of that hymn, 636. Continue with the pre-communion liturgy. You find it printed on the middle of 17 of the liturgy insert. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts. It is right and beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, and we praise you especially for the glorious resurrection of your Son, the true Passover Lamb, who by his sacrifice took away the sins of the world, and by his resurrection restored everlasting life. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way also, he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of your sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
O Lamb of God, O Christ our Lord, whose blood once shed, true life restored, impart your joy, our faith increase, sustain with your mercy, and grant us your peace.
May be seated, and the communicants may now come forward as the usher directs. Please stand as we conclude our service with the singing of the Lord. Lord, now let us depart in peace. And then the benediction and closing hymn. Go in peace and serve the Lord with gladness.
My heart has now become your dwelling, blessed Holy Trinity. With angels I your praises telling, shall live in joy eternally. Lord, may your body and your blood be for my soul the highest good.
And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen.